It's good to be with you this evening. I trust you've had a good Thanksgiving weekend. And I'm thankful for the time of Thanksgiving that Titus has led us in this evening. Also, he's left me a lot of time, and I'm going to read from the shortest passage in the Bible. So the shortest chapter in the Bible. So you may be thankful we may get out of here early this evening, but you never know. I want to read from Psalm 117, and while it's not a psalm that mentions the word thanksgiving, it's certainly implied because it begins with praise and ends with praise and speaks about the great steadfast love toward us. As we praise God, it always includes thanksgiving for all that He has done for us. So Psalm 117, I'll just read the two verses and then we'll consider this together. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples, for great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. One evening in the summer of 2001, I was in the home of a Sri Lankan family in Larnaca, Cyprus. And Tula and Chamila were their names. They were from a Buddhist background in Sri Lanka, but they had come to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their one and only Savior and Lord. And so we were there that evening making plans for their baptism on the following Lord's Day. Now, Tula and Chamila were Sinhalese, but they'd been introduced to us by a Sri Lankan Tamil Christian named Stephen. And if you know anything about Sri Lanka, there's an ongoing conflict between the Tamil and the Sinhalese, the Tamils and the Sinhalese. So it was a wonderful thing to see Atula, Chamila, and Stephen become good friends and eventually to become brothers and sisters in Christ. So on that summer evening, as we were going over some things in preparation for the baptismal service, Chamila, the wife, asked me if I would read Psalm 117. And I'm not sure where that came from, but I told her I thought that would be very good and very appropriate for us to read on that occasion. Now, it's only two verses long, but it's a wonderful expression of how God calls people from every nation of the world to praise Him, and how appropriate that we should sing it at Atula and Chamila's baptism, because that psalm was really expressing what we were celebrating that day. And when we sing this psalm together, we join our voices with believers from all ages, from all nations, in praising the Lord. And I'm convinced that the nations that it mentions here are not the political divisions that we have in the world. It's really calling for all people groups in the world to join together in praising and extolling our God. In our little congregation in Cyprus, over several months around that time, we had seen people from many different nations and many different people groups come and go. Cyprus tends to be that way. People come, and it's not unusual to have people stay for not more than a year or two, and then they move on somewhere else. So that can be kind of discouraging. But we really felt that the Lord had given us a ministry that might reach people in places where we could never go. There had been Greek Cypriots, English, Irish, Scottish, Australian, Ukrainian, Africans from Nigeria and Ghana, Chinese, Japanese, Taiwanese, people from Iraq and Iran, and many Kurdish refugees from Syria and Turkey. One interesting note about that, there was someone one day, Stephen, that I mentioned earlier, brought two men from Iran to the service. And I have no idea how he communicated with them. Neither of them spoke English. I don't think Stephen spoke Farsi. But I tried to speak to one of the men after the service and managed to communicate that I had been in Japan for a few years and had come to Cyprus, and his eyes lit up. He said, Japan. Nippon, Ninen, he said. He had been in Japan 2 years and learned to speak some Japanese. So there I was speaking Japanese with an Iranian man in Cyprus. This is one of the reasons why I felt that Psalm 117 was such a fitting psalm to sing together at Tula and Chamila's baptism, because in a very small way, it was a fulfillment of this command to all nations and peoples to praise and extol the Lord. Now, before we look at this, just a little Bible trivia, and I'm sure you probably know all the answers to this, but as you no doubt know, Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. It's only two verses long. But it also happens to be, in our, at least in our English Bibles and many other translations, the central chapter of the Bible. Someone with a lot of time on his hands, apparently, counted all of the chapters in the Bible and discovered that this little psalm is in the exact middle. There are 594 chapters before Psalm 117 and 594 chapters after. Now, someday when you have nothing better to do, you can check that out. Now, perhaps we shouldn't make too much of this because in the original, the Bible as it was originally written, it wasn't that kid. There weren't chapters and verses in that. But in God's providence, at least in our Bibles and in many translations, Psalm 117 is the central chapter. It's almost as if God is saying to us, look, here's the central theme of the Bible. Here's the central message of the whole Bible. It really is. The whole purpose of the Bible is to call people from every era, every nation, every people group of the earth to praise our Lord in Jesus Christ. No matter what century, no matter what millennium we live in, no matter what nation, no matter what ethnic group we belong to, no matter where we live, we worship the same God with the same praise and for the same reasons. And even though this psalm is very short, it's very rich in meaning. Charles Spurgeon wrote that Psalm 117 is very little in its letter, but is exceedingly large in its spirit. Bursting beyond all bounds of race or nationality, it calls upon mankind, all mankind, to praise the name of the Lord. And Psalm 117 calls for a response from us. As we look at it, we can think of what God is calling us to from this. I just want to consider three things that I believe the psalm calls us to, and to make it easier, I'm using three words that begin with the letter P. Actually, they all begin with PR. Proclaim Christ among the nations. The psalm calls us to proclaim Christ among all peoples. Secondly, to preserve the unity of all believers. And finally, to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his grace and truth. It begins and ends with praise. So first of all, Psalm 117 calls us to proclaim Christ among the nations. The very beginning of the psalm is a call to all nations and peoples of the world to praise the Lord. And it's not just speaking of nations as political entities, it's a call to all people groups to praise the Lord. The psalmist uses two words here. One in Hebrew is goyim, which is usually translated nations or Gentiles. The other is amim, which is broader in meaning, and it's translated here as peoples. Now, peoples is a word that may sound strange to some of us. Usually we think of people as a plural word, don't we? There are not many people here this evening. Well, there are many people. There's enough, but because the students are away, we don't have as many people here as usual. But I think it's helpful to think of the peoples as people groups. What's a people group? Well, some have defined the word people group, the term people group, as an ethno-linguistic group with a common self-identity that is shared by its various members. An ethno-linguistic group with a common self-identity that is shared by its various members. The most common identifier of a people group is its language. Their language is unique compared to other people groups. But each unique people group also shares a common sense of history and customs. Now, for a particular people group to come to Christ, the message of the gospel often has to overcome many barriers, not just language, but also the barriers created by language as well as culture. Just as an example of this, for a couple of years in Cyprus, I had the wonderful experience of meeting on Saturday evenings with a group of about 10 Kurdish men. They were from Muslim background, but they had been taught certain things about Christians and Christianity and what Christians believe, and they wanted to know the truth. They had lots of questions, and so we would look at the Bible and see what the answers to those were. Now, it was a wonderful opportunity, but were cultural and language barriers that needed to be overcome. The difficulty was that even though they were all Kurdish, some were from Syria and some were from Turkey. And among those was among the men was little Payman's father that you've heard about from Turkey, as well as Alan, who is from Syria, who's now in our Almont congregation in Canada. The men from Syria spoke Arabic and Kurdish Kurmanji, but the men from Turkey spoke Turkish and a little different dialect of Kurmanji. And so communication was not easy. And so some evenings we would have Alex, a Christian from Azerbaijan, who for some reason spoke Turkish. He spoke Turkish fluently. And he would translate my English into Turkish, and then somebody else would translate it into Kurdish. And so by the time it got back to me, I tried to remember what I had just said. Other nights we might have Nadir, a Christian from Egypt, who would translate it into Arabic, and then it would be translated into Kurdish. And there were times that somebody who understood a little bit of English thought he knew what I had said, and he would say, "That's not what he said." And then there would be a little bit of an argument in Kurdish that I would have to wait out before making a next statement. But anyway, we had barriers to overcome, but the Lord helped us to break through those barriers to an extent. With the translators, myself included, we probably had four or maybe perhaps five different people groups meeting together in that little group. But Psalm 117 foresees a day when all of the people groups of the world will be united in Christ and praising and extolling his name. And so in order for Psalm 117 to be fulfilled, all of the people groups of the world need to hear and receive the message of the gospel of Christ. Now, in the Septuagint Greek translation of the Old Testament, this phrase is translated "all nations," is a phrase in Greek that's panta ta ethne. Now, I could say it so Callie will understand panta ta ethne, but panta ta ethne. Panta means all. Ethne means either usually translated nations or Gentiles. But you can see what comes from that, ethnic and so forth, that these kind of ethnic groups and so forth can be expressed by that. It's a phrase that we find a number of times in the Greek, in the New Testament. In the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That's the phrase, panta ta ethne, all nations. In Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations." Panta ta ethne. And then the end will come. So this gospel needs to be proclaimed to all of the nations, all of the people groups, and then the end will come. In Revelation 7:9, the Apostle John saw a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, again, panta ta ethne, every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. So Psalm 117 is a call for all people from every nation, tribe, people, and language to praise our one Lord. But this implies that we need to be missionary people, doesn't it? People won't come to praise the Lord unless they hear about him. And as Paul says in Romans 10, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So Psalm 117 pictures all of the nations and peoples praising the Lord together. But if we hope to see that fulfilled, we need to pray for it. There's another PR word I hadn't thought of, but you need to pray for it and proclaim the Lord, proclaim Christ to the nations. All nations, all peoples, means there will come a day when people from every people group in the world will join together to praise our Lord. Now, there are said to be 195 countries in the world. These would be the political divisions. But how many people groups are there in the world? I wonder if you have any idea. There's an organization called the Joshua Project that actually lists them and numbers them, and they estimate that there are more than 16,000 people groups in the world. And among those, nearly 7,000 people groups are considered unreached people groups. Unreached people groups. Just for an example, Pakistan is one nation, but Joshua Project lists almost 400 people groups within that nation. So unreached people groups are defined as having less than 2% of their population becoming followers of Christ. But among the unreached people groups, sometimes the unreached people groups are called the UPGs, there are over 1,500 people groups who are considered unengaged, unreached people groups. Unengaged, unreached people groups, so UUPGs. This means that no church or mission agency or individual has taken responsibility to tell them about Jesus Christ. Well, Psalm 117 and the Great Commission go hand in hand. Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, he said. So as we are faithful in obeying Christ's command, then we'll see that fulfillment of Psalm 117. God may call you. At some point, he may call you to go to an unreached people group. That would be a wonderful thing, but we don't have to travel far to find those who need to hear the gospel. And I know that in recent weeks and leading up to the Stories of Hope come next spring, we're praying for those lists of people that we trust that we have made. That's part of it. That's a big part of it. But there are millions of people in our own people group, with the people that live near us of our own language and culture, need to hear the gospel. And it's also said that there are an estimated 350 unreached people groups living in the United States. These are mainly immigrants, refugees, and international students. Even at Geneva College, I understand there are international students who don't know the Lord. So there is perhaps an unreached people group living not just in our own neighborhood. We may not have many different people groups in our congregation, but we do see a partial fulfillment of this psalm every time we worship. Now, it's believed that Jesus and his disciples sang this psalm at the Passover. And that's significant because it's an indication that the blessings of the Passover were not meant simply for the Jews exclusively. Christ is our Passover, whether we're Jew or Gentile. And whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which we will be doing next week, we look forward to that time when we will eat with the Lord along with that great multitude that no one can count from every nation, tribe, people, and language. So maybe we'd be just encouraged by this, to be more faithful in praying for this, praying and sharing Christ with everyone he brings into our lives. Because Psalm 117 calls us to proclaim him to all nations and all peoples. Something else that we can't miss in this psalm is that it's a celebration of the unity of all believers. If we consider seriously the command of the psalm, we'll see that it calls us to preserve the unity of all believers. Because if we take this psalm seriously, we can't exclude any true believer from our fellowship. God is not the God of the Jews only, but he's not the God of the Greeks only, he's the God of all nations and all peoples. And this psalm calls us to be peacemakers. If we're, any of us are living in conflict with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't really sing this psalm wholeheartedly. We can only sing the psalm wholeheartedly if we're working toward maintaining the peace and unity of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Psalm 117 is quoted only once in the New Testament, and it's in a passage where Paul is talking about living together in unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's in Romans 15 where he discusses the differences among believers, encourages believers to accept one another in spite of different views. He uses in Romans 14, he talks about those who eat meat and those who don't eat meat and so forth. Then in Romans 15, if you would look at that, Romans 15, I'll start with verse 5 and read down through verse 13. After talking about not judging and so forth, or looking down on one another because of what you eat or what you don't eat, in verse 5 of chapter 15, he says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' Again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him.'" Then again in Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." There it is in verse 11. "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all peoples extol him." That's Psalm 117, as it's quoted by Paul in the New Testament. Psalm 117 shows us that we must accept one another just as Christ has accepted us. And Paul says that's in order to bring praise to God. We seek peace and pursue it because this brings praise and glory and honor to God. So picture again that great multitude from every tribe and language standing before the throne of the Lamb of God, singing praise to him. Every effort to maintain the unity of believers is a step towards that fulfillment of that beautiful picture. So Psalm 117 calls us to proclaim Christ, preserve the unity of all believers, and finally, ultimately, to praise him. It calls us to praise the Lord. It begins with praise, and it ends with praise. Praise the Lord, all nations, and then the last phrase is praise the Lord. All people are called to praise the Lord and magnify his name. All of us here this evening are called to praise the Lord and extol him. So are you praising him? As we give thanks, we are praising him. We're praising him for so many different things. Is the praise of God in your lips? Do you have his praise in your heart? The psalm tells us to praise the Lord for his love and faithfulness for us. Great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That word translated steadfast love, sometimes it's translated as loving kindness. That's the Hebrew word that comes closest to grace in the New Testament. God is kind to us. His kindness involves being merciful to us. We don't deserve his kindness. We're unable to do anything to save ourselves, but God is merciful and kind to us. And we praise him for his faithfulness, or literally his truth. Verse 2, his merciful kindness is great toward us. Great is his steadfast love toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord for that. Now, mercy and truth are often joined together in the Psalms, and that always points us to Christ. Mercy and truth are joined together in him. God's love, his merciful kindness, is great toward us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then it says, great is his steadfast love toward us. Great in verse 2 can mean great in bulk or number. God's love and mercy is exceedingly great. His acts of love and merciful kindness are infinite in number. It can also mean great in power. Great is his love and mercy because it prevails over sin. It prevails over Satan, death, and hell. God's grace is sufficient for us. It's all that we need. God's faithfulness, his truth is displayed in Christ. Christ is the truth, and may that lead us to praise him. The psalm actually uses two words to call us to praise. One is halal, from which we get hallelujah, or praise the Lord, praise Yahweh. The other word is translated extol, and it means to sing aloud. In other words, the nations, all people groups should praise God with a voice that's loud enough for everyone to hear. And just one more thing before I close tonight, and that is that the nations are called to praise God because of his love and faithfulness to his people. I believe it goes hand in hand with Psalm 67, for example, where we pray for God to bless us. But what's the result of that? All the ends of the earth come to know us. May God, to know him. God, our God, will bless us, that all the earth may know him to its remotest end. So Psalm 117, in a sense, is really a messianic psalm, because all of this is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Who is the us in that verse? Well, originally it's about God's love for his people Israel. In this psalm, it was would have been the people of Israel. In Abraham and his seed, all the world would be blessed. God's love toward Israel ultimately points us to Jesus Christ. In the seed of Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. When God blesses his people, it leads to all the nations, peoples, and families to be blessed to be blessed in Christ and to praise him. And that's something we see over and over in the scriptures. When God blesses his people, it means that the nations and peoples will be blessed. God calls all nations and peoples to praise him. And he's working to see that fulfilled. So may our worship today and every worship, every day that we worship, every time that we worship, may that be with, may we unite with people from many parts of the world together in praising him, and may that reflect that. So let's, as we're going to sing this in a moment, let's join our voices, not only with our brothers and sisters here, but as we do that, we'll be joining our voices with God's people from all nations and all ages, every people group, as we praise him together. Let's praise him for his love and faithfulness toward us. Let us pray that his blessings toward us will overflow in blessings for the people of all nations and peoples around us. Let's pray first of all. Father, we do thank you for this psalm. We thank you for the message that it has of your plan, Lord, to unite all people groups together in Christ to praise you. Lord, we long for that day to be fulfilled. We pray, Lord, that we might be mission-minded as we think of this, that we would be faithful in sharing Christ with those around us, and we pray that we might, you might send out those, Lord, who would reach to some of the unreached people groups, the unengaged unreached people groups, that they may know the gospel, they may hear it, and turn to Christ and be saved, Lord, that this may be fulfilled one day in truth, that the gospel would go out to every people of this, all of the peoples of this world. We just give you our praise. We give you our thanks because your steadfast love is so great toward us. Lord, your acts of kindness, we've thought of so many of these this evening as we prayed together, as well as the power, Lord, of your loving kindness, Lord, that overcomes sin and Satan and even the gates of hell. Lord, we just give you our thanks and our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.